Well, Gabrielle and Mike, I'm so glad that you joined us today to talk about this really important and frankly confusing topic regarding the legislation being introduced for TikTok and ByteDance. So, Gabrielle, thrilled to have you on the show. And you've been very vocal about this on social media. Give those who don't quite understand what's going on or haven't even heard about what's going on, give us a little snippet of what this could mean.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I purposely wore my "The Government is Lying to You" t-shirt because I feel like so many of us on the right have seemingly forgot that. I mean, basically what's going on is they're introducing a bill that would require TikTok to sell to a United States-based company or be banned in the United States. And then they're hiding behind the fact that they're saying that the CCP is controlling TikTok, which is debatable to begin with. I lost my train of thought.
You said the CCP, they're saying that the CCP is controlling TikTok, and you said that's debatable.
Yes. So the numbers say that 60% is actually owned by international investors. 20% is owned by the two people that founded TikTok. And then the other 20% is owned by the employees of TikTok. Sorry, I'm like losing everything right now. where was I going with this?
I think she was trying to mention the fact of like what a FACA is with like a foreign adversary controlled application, and just diving into like the fact that this TikTok ban isn't actually a TikTok ban. It's just a Trojan horse for a way for them to control and suppress content when, you know, as we now know that they can't suppress content on platforms directly through proxy by, you know, acting effectively as if, you know, these platforms are just arms of the government. They can't just email Jack and say, "Hey buddy, silence anyone that's a critic." So now what they're doing is they're trying to go around that with this bill and give unilateral authority to these applications where the president can deem them as foreign adversary controlled applications that threaten the national security, and therefore they can essentially just dismember the existence of these applications. So sorry, Gabby's got the little man, so I'll pass it back over to her.
I appreciate that. I mean, first and foremost, anything that the government, we just lived through For Your Safety on steroids, and I'm just shocked, frankly, that so many people have forgotten that when the government approaches you with For Your Safety, like, that should be a red flag. And also the fact that this is getting bipartisan support during an election year, another huge red flag. And then, I mean, even just facially before I even read the bill, I mean, think about what they're saying versus what their actions are. If they really cared about the CCP and what's going on in the United States, they wouldn't be allowing them to pour across our borders, fly spy balloons, infiltrate Hollywood, media, our education system, all of these things. So if they really cared about that, they would care about the infrastructure of the United States before they would care about what's going on a social media platform. Really what this comes down to is TikTok has actually become a search engine. Is there censorship on there? Yes, there is. I have, you know, a decent following on TikTok. I've definitely been censored on there. I get videos deleted all the time. But they also show you a lot that's going on in the world. People have stopped going to Google to see real time what's going on. They actually have started going to TikTok and using the search feature to see real time what's going on in the world that's, you know, uncensored. There's still a lot of good content on there.
So it's interesting because I'll just be honest with you. I don't have TikTok and I didn't get it because when, you know, it first came out, there was so much, I guess, information out there on the fact that just even having it on your phone would make you susceptible to, you know, the CCP having access to your data and your information that's on your phone. So I kind of just never even went down that route. But now it's interesting because there are so many people that are finding out for the first time about just conservative values and content through TikTok. So I definitely see the value in why people would want to have those accounts. But you know, and Mike, maybe you're better to speak on this specific aspect, but we were talking earlier about what would the consequences be for Americans who are using TikTok as a platform for that this is how they make money. They make money through ads and all kinds of other things on TikTok. Are we concerned at all about what that would do economically? And do you feel like if TikTok was banned in the United States, this is something that would be detrimental? Or what are your thoughts?
I mean, I think, well, so there's no penalty that's directly attributable to the user of TikTok. The biggest issue is the vagueness of how they go about the description and describing and defining what constitutes this foreign adversary controlled application, this FACA. Because it first starts off and just says any platform or application that's owned by ByteDance, or it says TikTok specifically, but if you continue reading under section 2G1 and 2G2 of the bill, it's a short bill, actually. It's the first one I think that they've actually been able to competently read the entire thing in the last 4 years. It's not one of those 2,400 page bills that no one's ever read. But nonetheless, the issue is that it defines it as any application, quote, subject to the direction or control of a foreign person or entity, which is very, very different than being something that is owned by or control. It's not objective. Like, what does it mean to be subject to the direction or control? So it's very vague. And all you have to do is claim that they're subject to that. And then that company now is on the defense of having to fight in the courts to prove that they're not subject to the controller direction. But in the meantime, they're stuck under that crush. And once you get declared as a FACA, which the president, whoever it is, Biden and or whomever his handlers are, it deems it a FACA, you have 180 days to either engage in divestiture. So you can either like just abandon ship, or you start to get hit with fines of up to $5,000 per violation. So per user, per violation. And that's where it gets hairy. That's like the biggest issue with this, because all you have to do is claim that it's subject to direction or control by people and or the countries listed, China, North Korea, Russia, or Iran, and they can just crush you. You have 6 months to either jump ship. And anyone knows that once you get into litigation, it's not a quick process. I mean, even if you do it expeditiously and file for like a TRO, it's going to still take you months. It's probably going to take you at least a month and a half to 2 months. And that's at the fastest track possible. So yes, it sucks for the people who make their livings off of platforms like TikTok, but you know, I'm not necessarily concerned about finances when what is now our genuine public square is the internet. It's not the town square like it used to be. The fact that we're now having a bill that is questioning whether we're going to be able to have any sort of free speech platform in the internet is our public square. If you can shut down internet and free speech on platforms because you disagree with them, that's extremely concerning. And, you know, once we lose the Second Amendment, we lose the First Amendment. This time they're seemingly trying to take a different approach by going after the First Amendment before the Second. And, you know, at the end of the day, the fact that it's got bipartisan support is a bigger red flag than seeing James O'Keefe's profile on Grindr.
You couldn't be more correct about that. And, you know, critics of the bill, including Senator Rand Paul, describe the legislation as, quote, a disturbing gift of unprecedented authority to President Biden and the surveillance state. And he was highlighting the fact that the threat it poses to American digital innovation and the foundational principle of free speech. I mean, we've seen this happen continuously where the federal government has encroached upon free speech of Americans by their involvement with social media platforms, what we saw through the Twitter files and learned. And then just the other day, I'm not sure if you saw this, but Tucker Carlson had reported that Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said in a closed door meeting, she made the claim that Elon Musk's management of X constitutes election interference. And Musk replied back and said, actually, I made the algorithm open source and neutral to all parties. But of course, that is election interference by her standards.
And Jack wasn't interfering. I mean, she doesn't understand the words algorithm or open source. So I'll give her that as you know, that's probably why she's not understanding this. But if what Elon's doing constitutes election interference, then I don't know what is more culpable than interference, but it would, you know, Jack must have rigged the entire outcome of the election then, because 41% of voters would have voted differently had they had known about the Hunter Biden story that was suppressed on Twitter that the New York Post broke prior to the election. So if that's not election interference, but what Elon's doing by making it open source is, it's not our fault that, you know, a bartender can't comprehend algorithms or open source code, who just happens to also, you know, masquerade as a congresswoman. That's, you know, more concerning in my opinion.
Yeah, well, no, absolutely.
I think she's feigning that she doesn't, that she doesn't understand what's going on. I mean, we know that the government has direct access to Meta, and if not full-blown control, they definitely have influence. And they've stated that, you know, in 2016, which is why they changed a lot of their rules about political ads, is how Trump, in their words, won the election, because he was able, he diverted all, a lot of his advertising dollars into social media. So we know how powerful it is. And what's going to happen, sorry, handing the baby over, when they use this legislation, heaven forbid if it goes through, to then go after platforms like X. I mean, they just, what it's going to come down to is they're going to do anything to gain, usurp the power to control all media until we're basically living in 1984. And we're going to become like Canada, where they can't even access, you know, whatever news information via social media. It's really scary. And it's really scary that so many people that claim to be conservative, awake, aware, have fallen for this. But thank God there are alternative voices still out there to kind of corral them back in and say, hey, have you thought about this? Have you maybe thought about this? And I am already seeing people kind of opening their eyes to, oh, wait, you know, at first I was totally in support of this ban, but now I'm seeing what you're saying, and I'm rethinking everything. And thank God that our voices still exist on these platforms. What's going to happen when we're no longer allowed to speak anymore?
Or even worse, like, what's going to happen when the grid goes down? Sorry, we have a little guy here.
No, he's adorable.
He's getting chunky.
Welcome to the show. We have to make a little introduction.
Yeah, it's his first podcast.
Yeah,
Jack. Oh, I feel so honored.
Your first podcast.
Well, welcome, Baby Yoder.
Say hi.
Not to be confused with Baby Yoda.
He's so cute.
But the biggest issue is, what happens if the grid goes down? Like, not even do we not have the ability to communicate on social media platforms, we won't have the ability to communicate at all, which is also highly, highly concerning. But we don't have any means of freedom if we lose the freedom of speech. People can't question or call out what the government's doing, then that's by definition tyranny. And there's nothing more dangerous to, you know, human existence and the loss of freedom. And if we can't even speak, there's no more fundamental principle of freedom or notion of it than the concept that we can say what we wish. That's where I'm, you know, scared. And it's even so egregious that under the language of this bill, section G6 says that the president also gets to determine what qualifies as a proper divestiture. So even let's say that they get their grip on a company, try to just quash it, try to destroy this company. If they don't do so in a way that the president unilaterally likes or agrees with, he can say no. And then if they don't do whatever he wants to do within 6 months, they get put in this like time crunch where they're just getting pinched. And if they don't do it within that 6 month period, they start getting hit with $5,000 fines per user, per violation, and they just bankrupt the company in its entirety.
I mean, every day of your life, you're fighting for our rights, for our constitutional rights that we have, and you're seeing them being trampled upon every single day. It's one of the reasons why so many people have flocked to you, because there's so few lawyers who are willing to stand up against some of the tyranny that we've seen over the last 3 years. And I mean, I feel like our free speech has already been so detrimentally affected over the last couple of years. Like, we've never seen anything like this before, the attack on the First Amendment. And this just seems to be another thing that continues. But What, Mike, what is the update regarding this legislation? Did they, when are they actually going to make a decision on this? Do you know?
I don't know. I didn't look at like the legislative, you know, progress as it's going through the, you know, various, you know, whether it's, I don't even know if it's gone over to the Senate yet.
I think it's going to the Senate.
It's going to the Senate now. But regardless, I don't know if it's like a litmus test or one of those things where they're trying to see public sensitivity as to how many people are aware of what's going on, or if this is actually something that they're seriously about, they're serious about pulling the trigger on. I mean, the way that Rand Paul is vehemently opposing it, you know, he, that sounds an alarm that they're actually serious versus, you know, otherwise he'd blow the dog whistle on it and just say, yeah, this is, you know, garbage. And they're just, he wouldn't get all riled up about it, but you can also, you can usually tell when he's actually emotionally charged about something or not. But I mean, other than Tucker, Rand Paul, Massey, MTG, a few others in Congress, I mean, we're just a country ran by a bunch of sellouts and flakes. And like I've always said, I don't think that a lot of these people in Congress go in with ill intentions. I think that they go into Congress pure intended, a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them. And then they make mistakes because they don't understand how Washington works. They take money from someone that they shouldn't. They go to something that they shouldn't. And all of a sudden they get this blackmail that says you do X or we expose you for, you know, Z. And once you get into that wheel, it never turns back. And that's where you get bought. And, you know, Madison Cawthorn kind of alluded to that when he, you know, and if you don't play the game, look what happens. You get voted out.
Yep. You get kicked out.
But hey, I'd rather be out of office and still have a soul than sell it to just stay in Congress. I mean, DC sucks to live in anyways, to be frank.
Well, so, did you hear the leaked audio from the head of the ADL? April?
Have
you
heard that? Tell me.
So basically the leaked audio within the last 24 hours, at least I'm seeing surfacing on social media. I don't know the authenticity of it, but I'm hearing it, heard it firsthand, is basically him saying that TikTok is a huge issue for us. And this, we need to put like our full weight behind eradicating this issue of controlling the narrative. And then we all know what one of the biggest lobbyists are in Washington, and this is what we're seeing. And it also doesn't make sense. Why would Biden, why would Biden do this right before the elections? When, why would he ruffle up his base? Because I don't know the statistics, but I would assume a large portion of the younger population that loves TikTok is also a Democrat. So I don't know. To me, it's, there's some heavy hitters behind this move. It happened really fast and it happened during election year, and it should raise red flags for everybody.
Because they know that if you're that dumb, you're going to still vote for Biden, even if you lose your TikTok account. The problem is that, you know, a lot of the conservatives are supporting it because all they see are these stupid dances where in China, the algorithms reward scientific and mathematic achievement. And here, it's how big of a jackass can you make yourself look like when you're doing some dance on TV and just effectively castrating, otherwise emasculating every man by doing these stupid dances, trying to get likes. I approve of the fact that we're going to get rid of an application that incentivizes ridiculous behavior that's absolutely not contributing to society. But on the flip side of that, I don't like the package that it's branded in, which is giving unilateral control to a decrepit octogenarian to dictate whether we have a public space to speak in online or not, because that's where it's headed. And the way that they're branding it should have been an alarm from the start, since it's bipartisan support. But, you know, if that wasn't enough, the fact that, you know, it's only 12 pages and people can read it themselves. So I would highly recommend doing that. And, you know, if anyone has questions, I'm happy to answer them if they, you know, reach out to me on social media. I'm not trying to steal your thunder here, but I just, there's no other lawyers that I see that are doing, you know, anything to educate on this topic.
No, that's exactly why I wanted you on the show, because I thought, you know, first of all, Gabrielle was spouting off about it. And I was like, this is excellent. This is what more people need to hear, because the truth of the matter is those who are hearing about it, they're not spending the time to actually really pay attention to what this is. And so it leaves people just confused and not sure what to think. And I really appreciate your perspective, Gabrielle and Mike. You two are amazing, amazing Americans. And I'm so honored to know you and have you both on the show. And Gabrielle, tell everybody where they can find you, That Patriot Mom on Instagram. Where else are you?
pretty much everywhere. I'm on TikTok. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll put that out there right now. I'm on TikTok. I'm on Instagram, True Social, Twitter, basically anywhere that there's social media. I have the same handle at That Patriot Mom.
Awesome. And Mike, tell everybody where they can find you.
Say bye, Jack. you can find me. It's Yoder_ESQ on X or Twitter, Instagram. And then my personal website is YoderESQ.com. Nonprofit is CitizenAG.org. And the law firm is Yoder LaValia, which is YoderLaVegLia.com.
Awesome. Thanks so much for joining us today, guys. Appreciate you. And thank you, baby Yoder, for joining the show today.
Say thank you, baby Jack.
His debut.
So sweet. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks.